say my name. Woo!
TV is awesome!
You're goddamn right.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a bonus episode of TV is Awesome.
Bonus.
We didn't even plan that. I am your host, Ken, and I'm here with my, as always, with my fabulous co-host, Lisa. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
So, we had a couple of things that we were just dying to talk about. So, we decided that we were going to do a bonus episode, and we may be doing bonus episodes in the future. So, look for them in your feed.
We just have so much to talk about.
We can't contain it in one episode.
It's true. And both of these things we're going to talk about, we did mention on our last episode in our, like, what are you watching? What are you listening to?
Yeah.
And I mean, they both kind of exploded this week. So I feel
they
really
did. Actually, in between when we talked about them last time and today. So,
yes. Yeah.
So first, we wanted to revisit our little chat about Reply All's story that they've been doing on the behind the scenes of Bon Appetit.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in a week,
yeah,
it just blew up like crazy. So,
and honestly, I remember in our last podcast, we were talking about it and we were like, it's so interesting. It's different for them. And I said, I've been wondering why this show is doing this story. And you kind of told me about the whole video aspect of it. And I was like, oh, well, that makes more sense. Well, now I'm hoping we actually get to listen to it, because now I'm hearing conflicting things about if they're going to continue it or not. But yeah.
And in retrospect, you brought up, and this is probably jumping too far ahead, but you brought up a good point where you said, knowing what Reply All knows about their own corporate culture within Gimlet, why did they do this story and why do they do it this way?
Right.
Which I think, yeah, in retrospect, is totally valid. Like, how did they not know that this was going to become such a touch point, like just blow up in their faces the way it did?
So full of drama. And so there's two things, and we can get into it, but one is maybe I'm kind of speculating, did they know? I feel like that's a really weird way to like burn out, like just set it all on fire as like PJ's stepping down. And now people are like, well, that was probably always the plan. And I'm like, I can't imagine. And then the other thing is, I actually wonder. So in that last episode, Shruti says, I have my own history of being on the wrong side of this. And she put it out there like that. If she didn't say that, I felt like that now to me feels like a CYA. I'm going to say it up front so that if anything does come out, like I've acknowledged it.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, if she didn't say it, would we be in like, would all this drama have happened even? Because I feel like it would have.
I think it probably would have, because the issues were still there.
True.
And there's no escaping. People that are pissed about it are always going to be pissed about it.
Yeah. I mean, all right. So let's recap for anybody who's like, what's happening? Because even on our, like the Reply All fan page, you know, I know we're both on it. It's like, people are like, even now, like, what did I miss?
Right. Can I get a yes, yes, no?
Right. Okay. So in the nutshell is they're doing this story on the corporate culture of Bon Appetit, which imploded, especially this past year with their treatment of people of color, and it became like part of their culture. So this is sort of like an expose on all of that. And, we have to record a podcast.
Glad we had that reminder.
I know. And, then on this last episode, and it's like painful. She's having these really hard conversations with people who are part of that culture, who tried to change the culture. You know, some of these people are talking about crying in their offices and just like trying so hard to like move up in the ranks, and it's just not happening for them. Anyway, So then what happens is Shruti mentions that she had she was on the wrong side of something similar that happened in her career. I don't know that she specifically said Gimlet. Do you remember? Does she say it?
I think she said Gimlet because she actually referenced the how they were trying to unionize and that she was against unionizing.
She did? Okay, I don't remember that. I remember it as like an off the cuff, like I'm just going to throw this out there kind of thing.
Yeah.
She definitely did not go into detail.
Yeah.
In any case. So how did we find out originally that this was imploding? Oh, I know. I was on my Reply All fan page.
Yes.
And again, I don't always go on Twitter. So it's great to have a Facebook page like that because people will pull from all these different places. And that's where I saw the Eric Eddings tweets.
Tweets, yeah.
I never would have saw them otherwise.
Yeah.
But people had been reaching out to him knowing that he had been a former podcaster at Gimlet and laughed.
Even Shruti reached out to him and said, have you listened to the episodes or will you listen to the episodes? Which I thought that was interesting. And I would like more explanation for that.
Oh. You
know, what was her intention behind doing that?
Well, I don't think any of this is making any sense, actually. Like, I don't think people are making good decisions on any of this. But so he comes out, he has a thread. He's basically like, okay, you guys asked, here it is. And that's where we find out that not only was Shruti and PJ both, I mean, they were against the unionizing. And again, the unionizing was coming forward. The majority of the people who wanted it were people of color. They wanted to make everything like same, same, equal in the workplace. And
they wanted to, it sounds like they also were trying to promote more diversity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So he talks about how not only were they against it, they were actively against it, like holding meetings about actively being against it, called him a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And also then we also kind of get a little intel to be like, well, Reply All was sort of like the golden bubble and kind of untouchable. And they were an island onto themselves and, you know, that kind of thing, which is not a surprise. It's one of their most popular podcasts.
Yep.
And
that it's been, they've been with the Gimlet since the beginning, since the company was founded.
Mm-hmm. So all that happens. And then we have our good, good friend, Starley Kine.
Yes. Friend of the podcast. Not really, but we think of that. We think of her as friend of the podcast.
I actually think that she's like my soulmate. Mystery show, by far the best thing that ever happened in my life.
Yes.
So Starley, so some background, she had a podcast called The Mystery Show, which is the best podcast ever. And she only did, what, 6 or 8 episodes?
6.
Oh, crushing. And was like unceremoniously dismissed. Like, boom, you have no show anymore. Oh, it's too expensive.
There's still good episodes. I encourage anybody who's listening to go out and listen to the 6 episodes today because... Oh.
Yes.
It's a brilliant, amazing show.
I am like an ambassador for that show. I am like, when I first heard it, I was definitely like, this is how my brain works. Like, this is something that I would think about, like just these tiny little things. Why is that jacket tied like that on the Welcome Back Kotter lunchbox?
Yes.
And I'm like, I would definitely think this way.
Yes. We had our own mystery that we couldn't figure out. How does Julia Roberts know?
Mm-hmm.
How does Julia Roberts know?
Woman from Mad Men and now Dead to Me and it's killing me. We love her.
I'm gonna have to look it up.
I know. I tried.
So terrible. So yeah.
I don't have the connections that Starley Kine has, but in any case,
yes.
Since her show ended, she has indicated and kind of plainly stated that Gimlet was a toxic kind of atmosphere. She didn't go into
Linda Cardellini. Sorry.
Yes. How are they besties?
We don't know.
I've tried people. If you know, let us know.
Yes.
Their husbands did not go to school together.
No.
I've gone that far.
Yes.
So... Starley now is like, told you so. I'm not saying I told you so, but I told you so. And then she's just like
like this past week, just throwing bombs, like little bomb here, little bomb there.
All week.
And so ultimately, okay, so let's just go through the facts. So then, so that's Eric. Then PJ basically is like, I'm so sorry and embarrassed and I'm temporarily leaving the show.
Yes.
He puts that on Twitter. Shruti follows suit. Then
although they say, oh, go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of following, like, just from the players, we've not heard from Alex Goldman.
No.
Although he did retweet Emmanuel, who tweeted, basically, I have a lot to say.
Yes.
But I'll say it later kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he retweeted that. Nothing from Alex Bloomberg. And I actually kind of looked at Fia.
Fia Bennett?
Yes. And she has nothing up there either.
Okay.
So I was just like, what's happening? Because it's been like a couple, like 2 or 3 days of like nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that Gimlet themselves has come out and said anything.
Well, there was that statement. So there was the Vulture article about it.
Yeah.
And then there was the statement in the Vulture article from a woman who's an exec who I can't remember her name, but
right.
She commented on the whole issue and said, we're aware that there's been a problem at Gimlet. These are things we've been working on since prior to the Spotify buyout. And then within that statement, she said that PJ's leave of absence is now a permanent leave.
Oh, so I remember the article saying that. I don't remember her statement saying that.
So I didn't remember that either. And then a friend of mine said, go back and read that statement carefully. And she actually pointed it out to me. She screenshot it for me.
And it says permanent in that statement?
Yes. So maybe they updated the statement, but that's what it said. It does say that he's not coming back in the statement.
Right.
It also says that Shruti, this was always intended to be Shruti's last story for the show. And she was moving on to do other things at Gimlet.
Yes. Right. So fine.
So fine. Yeah.
So I know that you and I had been like texting during this, like every time something new happened.
Yes.
And originally my feeling was just like, I was just so overwhelmed with disappointment.
Yes.
Like I felt like it was so sad and stupid.
Yeah.
And why are we doing this? I mean, I get you have had some mistakes, Shruti, like in PJ, like you made some mistakes. Did you think that this is the way you were going to, you know, make amends? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Unless you started the whole thing with, listen, you know, and make it a little more impactful, a statement of like where you're coming from.
Yeah, you know, now that you say it, I think that's the only way they could have made it work, because I think it was inevitable that that what happened behind the scenes at Gimlet was going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And this was sort of just the spark.
Yeah.
But if they had, and it seems like they are in such a bubble there that until now they really didn't understand the impact of their actions throughout all this time. Because like, you're right. Like if they were a lot more self-aware and they had framed this whole story as, hey, this is a mea culpa. Yes. What's going on at Bon Appetit? This is the same thing that happened at Gimlet and we were responsible. And through telling this story about Bon Appetit, we're also telling our own story. And this is a big apology. Like, we have amends to make.
Yes, Ken. That's exactly what they should have done.
Yeah.
They did not.
They did not.
And it's so disappointing. Not. It's so disappointing that that these people who and I'm not like being overdramatic when I say like they've been a part of our lives, right? We look forward to their show. We appreciate all the work that goes into what they do. They tell important stories, you know, in a really easy way to understand. Like, honestly, I think I've shared the the QAnon stuff, like on my Facebook page over and over and over. I'm like, everybody listen.
Yeah.
How stupid, like how the beginnings of this all was and is. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? My best podcasting has like come out of that show.
Yes.
And it's like someone just took a balloon, like pop.
Yeah.
Now, admittedly, halfway through the week, I was like equal parts devastated, disappointed, and give me some popcorn because like what's gonna happen next? Because it was like bomb, bomb, bomb.
Oh, right.
Because I think the last one, I think that what pushed me to that was when Starly was like, by the way, don't feel bad for being dead. Right. he's like a gazillionaire.
Yes.
So.
And dude, one of her tweets was, dude, his father bought him a building.
Right. His father bought him a building.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too. Like this, I've heard people write about this. I've seen people write about this before, but it's like the intimacy of podcasting makes you feel like you know the people that you're listening to. And maybe it's because, you know, like you're listening, most of the time you're listening in your earphones. It's like they're being injected right into your brain.
Oh,
and so you feel like they're your friends. Like I can almost imagine that PJ and Alex are our friends. But you still don't know them. Like they're making a show.
Right.
They're only showing a piece of themselves to us. It's like TV. It's like you think you feel like you're friends with people on TV sometimes. You don't know them either.
I definitely can attest to that. here's the thing though, and I will say that it's not entirely untrue that you can know these people, like know them from listening to them. Because think of the way like these guys interact, right? They're not all like, hey, buddy, blah, blah, blah. Like they definitely like know each other. And we know them through them that way, them like poking fun at each other, or like that's such a PJ thing to say. Like, you know, I don't know.
No, you're right. Like I'm gonna go back on what I just said a little bit, in that I mean we do know them in a way.
I feel like we do. Especially, I don't feel like they hold back.
The way they, like you said, put together their show, so much of it is about their interaction with each other, their friendship going back years, their running jokes, their the silly things that they do with each other. It's not just it's a different kind of a podcast in that way.
I 100% feel like that's what makes it work so well too. Not only are they have great stories presented in a really, you know, terrific way, no matter what the format, if it's, you know, yes, yes, no, if it's like the, you know, I don't know the names of any of them. I just remember the stories.
Yeah.
You know, like recreating a song.
Yeah.
Recreating a song with a band.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. So here
that's
we are.
I know. That's why it's hard to imagine it going on without PJ.
It's hard to imagine it going on without PJ. Did we hear, and I did not follow up and look at it with my own eyeballs, but did we hear that Alex and PJ are not friends on Twitter anymore? And that's like a big deal?
That is what I heard. I saw it in a tweet, but same as you, I didn't go and check it myself. So I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
And, right. So now I've heard differing things about, have you heard anything official about whether these other episodes are coming out?
No.
Right. So I saw on our fan page,
but we were supposed to have a new one on Friday and it did not come out.
It did not come out. I wonder if they're going to like sneakily put it out on like a Tuesday night. They have to have some kind of preamble. Like they have to have some kind of something.
Yeah. Like I'm sure they just don't know what to do. So they're trying to figure it out.
So one of the theories posited, and this is actually going to be a great segue into our next topic of conversation, but one of the theories on our, you know, fans page is basically that they knew this was going to happen. And in some ways they wanted to shake it all up, right? like PJ probably wanted to leave anyway. Shruti was going to leave anyway. Emmanuel's now part of the team and now he's going to step up. And that they will, their next story will be about themselves. And I'm like, in some ways, that's the only way this makes sense. But I really find it hard to believe that they would do this to themselves this way. Because it's not a good look. It's not like, oh, we're going to come out of this looking great.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, that's where I feel like it doesn't hold up. Because how would you, like, it makes PJ especially look so bad.
Yeah.
How is he, what would he do next that, I mean, he's going to have to make up for this somehow. You know, he's going to have to do something to redeem himself.
I just feel like,
why would you knock yourself down in that way?
Right. Right. Expose yourself in this way.
Expose yourself in this way, unless you were going to do it like how we said before, like you're going to expose yourself, but you're going to do it as a way of making amends with a plan. And it doesn't seem like that's...
No, it didn't seem like they had a plan.
No.
Or their plan was, well, I'll just put this couple of words out there that, like, oh, in my past, I was on the wrong side.
Right.
I honestly, though, there's part of me that feels like PJ stepping down is over dramatic. Like, I feel like if they could have done... Like, we've heard these little episodes before where they hop on and they're like, well, we were going to talk about this, but then now let's talk about this.
Yes.
He just came on and honestly talked things through. And PJ was like, you know what? I see now how, like, I was on the wrong side. My actions hurt people. I feel terrible. I don't actually know what to do. I'm open to suggestions. Like, if he just kind of buried it all out.
Bring Eric Eddings on the show and talk to him.
100%. There's ways to do this without ducking out.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think it's an overreaction for him to quit.
Me too.
It's a wrong move.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
Something has to happen. I mean, it's not just going to all stop and go away.
Right. Right.
Unless it does.
Yeah, the story's not over yet.
Right. So that'll be more for us to talk about in the future.
Yes.
But speaking of, like, trying to figure out theories on what happened, the things we have no idea about in real life.
Right.
Let's talk about the vanishing at the Cecil Hotel.
Wow.
Okay. First of all, I have questions.
Okay. Well, wait, let's say one thing.
Yeah.
Listeners, this is a new show that's on Netflix. We are going to spoil it for you. So if you have not listened to it, this is your warning. Not listen to it. If you've not watched it, go watch it now and then come back and listen to the rest of this episode, because there's no way we can talk about it without giving everything away.
100%.
Yeah. So questions.
Yes. So my first question was, what did you know about this case before you watched it?
Nothing.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you what I knew.
Okay.
From life.
Okay.
You know, I remember her vanishing. I remember being on the news. I remember seeing parts of that video. And then I remember them finding her.
Okay.
So in my brain, going into this show, I was like, oh, yeah, right. I remember she was killed and she was dumped up on the roof.
Okay. And on the news, was it a date? Did you see it on Dateline? Or
I swear I saw it on Dateline, but I feel like if I saw it on Dateline, I would have seen the whole video.
Right.
But I don't remember the whole video. I only remember the parts where she's like looking out in the hallway and kind of hiding. And I was like, oh, she's definitely being stalked, right? Like I 100% thought that. So that was my memory of the case. Why is this, like, I was like, why is this a thing? Because I remember that they found her and I was sure that they found her and it was a murder.
Okay.
That's what
so
I thought.
You didn't know the resolution.
No.
Okay.
I also didn't know anything about all the internet theories. So that was really, like, all new and exciting to me.
Yeah. Did you know about the hotel and the history of the hotel?
No, but this is the other thing I remember. I remember thinking, oh, it's some regular nice hotel in downtown LA. And I remember when they found her in the tanks, I remember my first reaction was, oh my God, those people in the hotel, they have to sue. Like, this is disgusting. Yes. I can't believe she's been there for a month. Like, like, I remember when they found her, like, that was my first reaction. Like, the hotel uses that water.
Yes.
That is so gross. So gross.
Yeah.
But no, I knew nothing about the hotel. I also, and here's my other question for you. What were your, what did you know about Skid Row before watching this show?
Oh.
Or what was your idea of it?
Good question. I knew very little about Skid Row.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was in LA. I knew there was a section of LA where homeless people camped out called Skid Row.
Yeah.
I thought it was more of a Depression era.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't realize that Skid Row was still a place today where I didn't realize Skid Row was still an existing part of town, part of LA today. Mm-hmm. In the sense that it's as bad now as it was ever.
Right. Agreed.
And I mean, really, that's all I knew. I didn't know any of the history really about it.
So neither did I. And also, like, Skid Row to me was one of those places where I was like, oh, that must be like, I mean, in my head, it's like, oh, it's like Compton, you know, like that part of LA. Like, LA is sprawling, right? So I just thought it was like this very like small area where you knew like there's homeless people, you can go buy drugs, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. So they start talking about the Cecil Hotel. Let me just tell you my experience in watching this. They start talking about the Cecil Hotel. I immediately Google it, and it doesn't come up Cecil Hotel. It comes up the Stay, what is it called now?
Stay on Main.
Stay on Main. So that pops up. And I'm like, oh my God, that's not far from the last bookstore, which actually comes up in this show a lot.
Yes.
Now, the few times we've been to LA a few times, stayed downtown a few times, been to that bookstore. We've been to that bookstore. Paula's had readings there. So yeah. And I was like, wait a second. That is only like a few blocks from the hotel that we stayed at, which was the Westin. So it's like 5 blocks away, let's say. But I remember it being very close. And I'm like, wait a second. The last bookstore is in Skid Row. So then I Google Skid Row and it comes up. And it is a big chunk of downtown.
Yeah.
It's like 50 blocks.
Yeah.
It's a big area. And I'm like, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. Now, I do know that when we stayed downtown, people were like, be careful, you know, downtown is sometimes rough. Like I just took that to mean like any city. Now, did we, when we were going to breakfast, have to like sometimes step around some people on the sidewalk? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, passed out sleeping or whatever. But I just was like, this is like a city.
Yeah.
This is like any warm city.
Yeah.
So I was like, not only did this show, like, I mean, there's so much to talk about with Elisa Lam. But I was like, this is a real, like, they're going to have some sort of spinoff onto the history of Skid Row to educate us all, because I felt like I thought I knew and I didn't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Cause you know, we were talking about this before, but I had a similar, you know, I stayed at that same Westin.
Mm-hmm.
What was interesting to me is they talked about how the borders were the borders.
Right.
And I think it's still, even though, I mean, I think it still feels that way today, because in the area of downtown where the Westin is, and the convention center, which is, I was in town for a conference. There is some, you see some homeless people around, but for the most part, it's stores, high-end stores, Whole Foods,
mm-hmm.
People walking up and down all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You would never know that a few blocks away, 5 blocks away, there is this 50 block area.
Exactly.
And then it was interesting because then they talk, you know, they do a little bit of the history of Skid Row in the series. And they talk about how those there were borders that were enforced for a period of time.
I feel like that had to be the 80s and 90s. Is that what he said? 80s
and 90s, yeah.
I loved him. And I'm like, give him a show.
Yeah.
Dr. Doug Mongan, I think is how you say his name.
Yeah.
But I was like.
A Skid Row historian.
He's a Skid Row historian?
Yeah.
Yes. Tell me more. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by it, and he should have his own show.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. So
should we just a little, a quick overview of what the show is about. So it's about the Cecil Hotel. It's about a young girl from Vancouver, Elisa Lam.
Mm-hmm.
She comes to stay. She's traveling. She's in college. She's traveling. She stays at the Cecil Hotel, and then she vanishes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes a few years to figure out why they discover her body eventually, mm-hmm. floating in a tank. On the roof. Mm. And then they don't know how she got there. They think it's foul play, but they can't figure out what happened.
Right.
And then eventually they do find out.
Right.
So
the one piece of evidence, so let's back up and talk about the Cecil Hotel. So the Cecil Hotel, as we've kind of said, it's like it's not smack in the middle of, but it's like on the edge of, within Skid Row. So the Cecil Hotel is part like, what do you call that kind of hotel where tourists come and stay cheap and all of that. But that happened later in the 80s and 90s. It was probably almost 100%. Like low cost. Like you could stay there for $3 a night.
Yeah.
And they
kind of a flop house.
Yes. They talk about how like the police were always there because it was like drugs and violence and, you know, prostitution and like everything that you would think would be happening there. The other main character that is just like, you're like, this woman stayed at this hotel for 10 years as a manager. And she's so like Midwestern, like
I could not get over her.
She's
I
like,
could
well,
not get over her.
Well, the other thing that's crazy about this hotel, every picture is like you walk into that lobby and it's like 1920s, like opulence and gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. And then you hear about what's actually happening and it's like upstairs, like everything's gross and disgusting and violence and, you know, all the bad things.
Yeah.
And God, this woman was like, I see, you know, she has good bones. Right. This hotel has good bones.
Right.
So she had seen a lot.
The way when they talk about how they were trying to make the Cecil Hotel into a like a real money-making operation, it was fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to make it into a real hotel. But mm-hmm. then they realized the way it was zoned as a, I don't know what the word for it was, but they have to have
low income housing.
So they came up with this idea of dedicating 3 floors, I think it was, to, as a tourist hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the upper floors would be where the weekly rentals were.
Yeah.
And they even came up with a separate entrance mm-hmm. for the tourist hotel people. And they gave it a, they branded it as we said before, Hotel on Main. And so they were trying to have both coexisting in the same building.
And the problem was they shared an elevator.
Yes.
There's no separate elevator.
Yes. Which leads to the most interesting part.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of interesting parts, but one of the most fascinating parts of the story is the hotel, was the elevator video.
The video.
So what is the elevator video?
Right. So again, my memory was seeing her. So it's the elevator security cam. And I'll go into detail in a minute, but I just want to say that as soon as I saw the whole video, because they very briefly
sometime before we see the video. So we don't see the video until the end of episode one. But they had gone through like her social media, like trying to like say like who she was as a person, right? So at 23, she's like, I want to see the world, you know, I'm going to take a trip. But they do indicate either depression or anxiety or something in that episode. So now, you know, that's fine, but I'm still like murder. And so I watched the video and it's chilling because she walks in, she pushes all the buttons, but she like bends down and does it like so purposefully. And then she stands at the back of the elevator and then nothing happens. The doors don't close. So I immediately was like, oh, well, she definitely hit the keep door open button, right? But she's freaking out. Well, no, she doesn't freak out. She just kind of goes up and she looks both ways really fast, like both ways down the hallway. And then she comes back in, but she puts herself right up against the side of the elevator. That's what I remember from the video.
Yeah.
I don't know that I saw the rest of this. So then she scoots over and looks out again. And then she kind of steps out, does a sidestep, does a backstep, does a sidestep, and then kind of leaves. And I was like, oh, like immediately I was like, she's on something or she's off something.
Yeah.
I felt like if she was off her meds, this would be a psychotic episode, right? But I was actually at that point, the first time, like leaning a little bit more towards somebody slipped or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But I was leaning more toward like, why would she do that little dance? Yeah. You know, like she was really out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, the reason that's so important, not only is it like a crazy video, but it's also the last time they see her. And also they know that she has not left the hotel. Yes. So the police spend so much time going through that hotel. So much time going through that hotel, floor by room. Dogs, scent dogs, and the scent dogs track her to a window. And then they go everywhere. And they're on the roof and there's no trace of her. That's tragic.
Yeah.
But
can we talk about... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say the fire escape is at that window, right?
The fire escape is at that window.
It's an old-timey building with a fire escape that goes up to the roof.
Yep. It was interesting when they show... So the final... It's like a normal fire escape with stairs going up most of the way until it gets to the top floor. And then to get to the roof, it's this open ladder that you have to climb up.
Yes.
And I looked at that and I thought, they do a good job of showing you how high up
I think it's like 20 floors, isn't it?
It's 20 floors.
Yeah.
I think it's 20 floors. And there's nothing, once you are on that ladder, you know, there's nothing to, it's nothing to protect you. So right. The thought of like climbing up that ladder is terrifying.
Yes.
Which is why they kept thinking she it was unlikely that she climbed up there herself.
Mm-hmm.
That there's also an inner stairway with a locked door. And so there was speculation for a long time that maybe someone on the staff was responsible and they took her up there because that was the only way to get up that way.
Right.
Yeah,
and they looked into everyone. They looked into everyone that was there, all the employees.
Yeah.
So one of the things about the video that starts the whole, well, first of all, she's missing. Nobody can find her. They know, I mean, there's nothing that says she's left the hotel.
Yeah.
So this starts this whole internet conspiracy theory kind of craze that I was totally unaware of. But one of the sticking points was that the video itself was like the time stamp on the bottom was a little jumbled so you couldn't tell.
Yep.
And there were parts that were like slowed down a little bit. So the internet had like basically a field day
yeah.
trying to like figure that out. And you know, that what's her name? I'm gonna have to look up the name of the woman who's the general manager.
Yeah.
She was just so straightforward.
Yeah.
She was like, I handed them the tape myself. I didn't touch it. I didn't do anything to it.
Right. Right. And she was like her reaction is like, I didn't touch it. I just handed it to them.
Right. Right.
Come on.
Right. Right. Why would you think I would do anything like that?
Right.
So of all the conspiracy theories, like I was like, this is crazy. Like they, I mean, people were definitely so into it. Like these sleuths, web sleuths. Yes. And they interview quite a bit of them, but also like some journalists too. Yeah. LA journalists that were like, we were looking at everything. The one that I thought was like, I was like, oh my God, this is a crazy coincidence, is that her college. So was it University of Vancouver? Is that where she went?
I think so. Yes.
So her college was like the number one tuberculosis research college. And okay, I'm going to get this totally wrong, but in some big paper, oh, and there was a tuberculosis outbreak, yes, in Skid Row.
Yes. At the same time.
Yeah. And then the antidote or the DNA strand, the test. Something was called Lam Elisa. Lam-Elisa. Her name.
Same way. That was crazy.
I was like, no wonder people lost their minds. Like, yeah. I was even like, what? That's nuts.
So the other strange coincidence that got me was the parallels with the movie Dark Water.
That is crazy.
That blew my mind. So there was a movie. It was originally a Japanese movie, and then it was remade in the U.S., and it was called Dark Water. It's a horror, mm-hmm, movie with Jennifer Connelly and her daughter, who's a child in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There is a scene where she's in the elevator and she's wearing a red hoodie, just like, mm-hmm, Elisa was in the surveillance video, and she does not exactly the same movements, but she walks out, she looks around, she comes back into the elevator, and then the character dies by drowning in a tank,
yeah,
on the roof of the building.
Yes. I know.
Crazy.
In the movie, is she possessed? Is the hotel is haunted?
The hotel or apartment building is haunted.
Right. Yeah. So that kind of spurred that whole other thing about, like, is the hotel haunted?
Yes.
Why aren't those doors closing?
Right.
Things like that.
Because the video goes on for it's 4 minutes in total.
Mm.
The last minute and a half, 2 minutes, is the door staying open?
Yeah.
And then closing and then opening again.
Yeah.
And that's how the video ends.
Right.
Yeah. Weird stuff.
It's so weird. So now there's like new owners of that hotel.
Yes.
So we should actually like just sum up and say that the people who were, the English couple.
Oh, can we talk about the English couple? Because
not only are they so cute and fabulous, but I was like, this is not going to go well for them.
I have to say, cute and fabulous and so naive. So it's their first big trip to America.
Yeah.
And they're going to go to LA and they got some warm weather.
Mm-hmm.
And they choose to stay downtown in LA because, of course, it's downtown. That's where it's at.
Right. But it was also like a
research.
I know. The internet was a thing.
The internet existed.
But wasn't it like a package? It was almost like part of a package, right?
Well, I felt
like
they don't say this. They say later on that, and not in relation to them, but the way, like if you searched, you would come up with, you'd find Stay on the Main.
Yes.
And the way it was branded and presented was, you're staying at this swanky hotel, you're going to get a good deal. And it would probably be easy to be fooled by the way it was marketed.
Right. It's like, stay here cheap. And they were like, well, we're not going to be in the hotel really right. that long. We're going to be out doing stuff.
Yeah.
But the minute they got there, they were like, ew.
I know.
The guy's talking about his feet sticking to the floor.
And they were like, well. I give them credit for staying, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I could not do that. I don't think.
No, it looked disgusting.
Yeah.
And really, they were like, it was very foreshadowing because they were like, and we were like, we're just going to like stay here to sleep and shower.
Right.
So they're there. And they knew that she was missing because they saw a flyer, right?
Yes.
Like, yeah, but they also did.
Around, they realized that they're in Skid Row.
Yes.
And they saw the flyer.
Yes. And then they start complaining about how the water was just disgusting.
Yes.
Oh.
Brown. The water was brown.
Like, I could literally puke right now.
I know. And she makes a point of saying, we were bathing in the water. We were shaving in the water. We even drank the water. Who would do that? They had bottled water in 2015.
Why would you drink brown water?
Why would you drink brown water?
That smelled disgusting.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's just disgusting. But in the end, that is how they find her because they're like, go check the tanks because people are complaining.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. When he goes up there, the lid was not on the tank. It was off.
Right.
So.
But there's some confusion about that, right?
Right. Because the police officer went on TV and was like, my understanding is that when my cops got there, the lid was on. And that sent everybody into like, how could right. she put the lid back on if she right. went in there herself?
But the man who discovered, who found her, put the
yes.
lid back on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the cop was just mistaken.
Or he was just mistaken. Yeah.
Right. Right. So yeah, they found her.
Yeah.
But so then they sum it up and it's like, even all the conspiracy theorists were like, okay, that makes sense. Like
yeah.
she, because now it's documented, right? Like they lead you all over the place, but basically they were like, when they finally did the toxicology report, her meds that she'd been on because she'd been diagnosed with as bipolar, she had not been taking them. The dosage in her body was very low for what she should have been on. And then they also had, like, now we start hearing, oh, well, she went to a taping in Burbank and she was like writing this crazy letter and they had to escort her out because they thought she was, you know, harmful. Then our good friend, the GM, is like, well, she came down to our lobby and was like, I'm crazy, but so is LA. And oh, the other thing we didn't talk about is that the room she was staying in was like a, they were like bunk beds. So it was
like a shared room.
Yeah.
Like a hostel.
Exactly. And she was leaving notes for them, like, go away.
Yeah, she freaked out the other girls in the room.
And the hotel put her in her own room, which I was like, well, that's one way to handle it. But they're probably so used to just being like, fine, you know, like trying to handle things.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably like, this sounds like it was minor.
Right.
Amongst the things that they deal with on a daily basis. So.
Right. Exactly. And so, yeah, it became very apparent that she was having an episode. But there's still no understanding of why she did it other than she was having an episode. And there's no explaining that. And then two, why those, I mean, the dogs, did they smell anything on the roof?
I
can't remember that they,
I don't think so, but I'm trying to remember now if they said they actually brought the dogs to the roof.
They did.
They did. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. They didn't seem to pick up anything on the roof.
No. And
odd.
I understand that they wouldn't in water, but right. Like,
right. But you would think they would pick up her trail on the roof itself.
I say they did. I have a vision in my head of them having the dogs up on the roof.
Okay.
But I could be wrong about that. But I just know that that one particular officer was just so like, when they found her up there, he was like, we were there.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
So devastated. You could tell.
Yeah. But like, why would you, I don't know that anybody would ever think to do that.
I know. Yeah.
Although if you're an officer, you should check everywhere, I guess. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
I know.
But anyway, the whole thing is tragic and fascinating. And that one kind of like offshoot of like that whole guy's life was ruined from these, you know, because you go, oh, these web, you know, theorists, they came up with like these crazy ideas.
Yeah.
But then ultimately they actually like ruined somebody's life.
Yeah.
You know, the metal, death metal singer that wasn't even there at the same time. They just assumed he was.
Right. This is, you know, there's an interesting parallel too to the Reply All story, and that there's like a level of toxicity online that really is harmful.
Yes.
So, you know, there's a lot of it was, you know, they didn't really do anything to help solve this case. There's a lot of times when people do help solve crimes, do help solve cases. And so there is a lot of value in it, but, when it becomes about conspiracy theories and it's not based on anything, on any real facts, and you basically like hound this guy the way the internet's been hounding Eric Eddings.
Right.
You know, it's damaging and it's hurtful. So the dark side of social media.
Yep. So it was a very interesting, I went into it like, oh, this will be fun to find out who murdered her, you know, like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, all this, I didn't know.
Yeah. I watched it all in one night, Lisa.
I did too. There's no pacing. No. There's no drawing that out.
No.
One like, right after okay. the other.
What's happening? I gotta find out. Gotta find out. Roll right into it.
Right. So they say that the hotel is, you know, was bought by new owners, and they're gonna fix it up, but they still have to have a portion of it be the low income housing.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're gonna do about that. And they want to put a pool on the roof. Did you hear that little dig?
They want to put a pool.
Yeah. I was trying to do? Every time they did the overhead shot, there's this beautiful building right next door.
Yes, me too. I was just going to say that.
And I couldn't, I actually did like street view and like, I was trying to like figure it out.
Because it looks like there's a pool on that building.
Yes.
So I was trying to figure out what that was.
It's either an apartment building or a hotel, right? So.
Because then they mentioned something at the end of the last episode about... there are luxury apartments now in the neighborhood, and some other like high-end things, and it's all kind of coexisting not very peacefully with the fact that it's Skid Row.
Right.
So they had so many of those beautiful drone shots. And every time I was trying to see like what's going on in those other buildings. Like
I know.
Building where there's it seems like there's balconies with umbrella tables and umbrellas and things. And I was like, that.
I know. I want to go there.
Yeah.
But like, I'm very interested to find out like what's happening right now. Like, so here's the thing about LA apparent now is that, I mean, the homeless situation is way beyond Skid Row. Like, the last few times we've gone, it's everywhere. There's no other way to say that other than it is everywhere. Highway overpasses, walking overpasses, just street, like it's everywhere and it's a huge problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that fits into this narrative now, if what they're saying is the area around that hotel is becoming, you know, gentrified or what have you. And Skid Row is getting like smaller, but my experience is that at least the homeless situation is just, it's everywhere. It's not in that, it's not contained, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's a bigger, it's a big problem. I don't know that anybody has the answer to it.
Again, give this guy a show.
Give this guy a show. Yeah. He's great. I want to know more about him. Yeah.
I'm going to write to him.
Do it.
I might.
Do it.
I feel that strongly.
Yeah. Yeah. He was great.
I just was like, he's a historian, a Skid Row historian. Like that's fascinating. Cause obviously I know nothing.
Right.
Right. So
you could do a whole, they could do a whole show just about Skid Row.
Yes. Agreed.
So much to talk about.
Agreed.
Okay, so this was a fun episode. We got it all out.
Yay! I'm so glad we talked about it.
Bonus, bonus, bonus!
Bonus, 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 bonus! Well, thank you for joining us for this very special bonus episode. And we will see you in our regularly scheduled episode talking about the next episode of The Leftovers. Yes. This is our ongoing concern.
Yes.
Yes. So we will see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Winter is coming.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm! What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay
TV is
awesome!
You're goddamn right.